This show is brought to you by Rachel Fit. Discover simple, effective workout programs that save time, eliminate pain, and get results. Solve your pain or movement issues while improving how you feel and perform at life, work, and play. Looking good is a side effect. Connect with Rachel at rachelfit.com.
Welcome to Dream Big with Jill Jack, a show that will inspire, educate, and encourage you to break down your barriers and follow your heart. Here's your host, Jill Jack, on Empower Radio.
I am seriously almost crying hearing that intro today because I have one of the people that sang that song with me. I remember writing that song and just envisioning that there are all these powerful women singing this with me. And one of the main people that popped in my head is my guest today, Miss Linda Lexi. And she's not known as a singer, although I just knew that no matter what I asked her to do, she would be capable of doing it. One of my favorite people in my life is Maya Angelou. I love reading about her. And one of the reasons I do is because she is a multitasker. She's done so many things in her life. And that's why I want to bring you Linda, because Linda Lexi can do anything. Can you say hello, Linda, to the listeners?
Yeah, in the middle of tears. I don't know if it's good to cry in the beginning of the interview.
I know, Jill. We both are crying. I'm like, okay, this is a first for me. That's good, though. But I am so glad you're here, and especially just today. It's wonderful to have you here and listening to that song, because I remember you're like, I don't really sing. And I'm like, I know you can do it. And you came in and you were phenomenal and you were beautiful. And it was such a strong time.
Thank you, Jill. But you have to really elaborate further on that story, just to mention that you pulled me in with what became your project, the Detroit Women's Project,
yes,
to do that song for the Keith Famey documentary, which was incredible. But I'm standing there with all these powerhouses, including you, like the best of the best. And I'm like,
yes,
there were sure, Jill.
There were 10 of us women, all Music Award winning, all DMA winners, which
major
you
winning
are as well. We had people like Thornetta Davis, Barr Payton, Annie Capps, you name it. There were so many of us.
Karen Newman.
And you stood your ground. Shoot. You made it happen. Yeah.
Well, it was awesome because, you know, I was down there. I said, well, this is perfect. I can hold my straight note while all those big voices can do all their, all over the place. So I can just kind of hold it down, like holding down the beat.
And you did.
And that was all I needed to do, but just to be in the presence of everybody and to be part of that project. And then to later on go on to sing that on stage with you guys
at the
Michigan DMAs. Theater.
Oh, at the Michigan Theater,
yes,
as well. Yes, that was, well, because Keith Famey had asked me, you know, I wrote that song in the shower. Did I ever tell you that?
That's where the best stuff happens,
I know,
it seems like.
And I literally ran to my computer and I wrote it. I typed it down in a towel dripping wet.
Wow.
And I called Keith and I said, hey, do you have a song for that documentary? It was Embrace of Aging. And he said, no, I don't have it. And I said, well, I've got something for you. And he goes, great. And he said, let me hear a little bit of it. Well, I only had four lines. That was it. So I didn't tell him. I didn't have the whole thing done. And then I got it done. And then in the middle of the night, the vision came to me to invite you and all those women and just celebrate womanhood.
Stunning.
You know? And I think it was such an inspirational thing. But you inspire me daily. And I just, you know, for the listeners who don't know you, can you give them a background of everything you do, which I don't even know if we have enough time on this show today. We might have to do part one, two, and three. But just, you know, because every time I read a post of yours on Facebook, I get chills. I could be like laying in bed and all of a sudden it's like you know what I'm going through that day. It's crazy. So can you just give me a background? First of all, you came here today in the studio and you got to see some of the people that you were, you know, educated by. So can you tell us a little bit about that?
I got to tell you, Jill, it was so surreal to pull in this parking lot because I came here as a student 24 years ago. And this is where it all began, quote unquote, although I was doing some things. I was with a couple of agencies and doing some local modeling and product modeling. I was never a good model, never meant for that just because I'm 6 foot tall. It doesn't mean we're all meant for that. So, you know, so I heard a commercial on the radio for Spex Howard Broadcast School and the light went on and said, I'm going to go do that. And so I came here and did that and did it in a, you know, pretty big way, a pretty good way.
No fear?
No fear at all, because, you know, if the fear is there, mm-hmm. you still have to go.
Yes.
In fact, there's something even more powerful when you do things afraid. And that's where the gifts are. How do we get to those gifts? And usually they have that sort of little paper wall, that little blockade telling you, oh, don't go there. You can't do it. You're not, you know, you needed to do that when you were younger. You shouldn't, you know, even try. You're going to fail. All of those things. That's a paper wall, baby. Just bust through and do it.
Love
and
it.
See what you're made out of. And so you got to speak with my one of my great mentors here today, Dick Kernan, who is just this incredible being who has this incredible history. And at 80 years young, he will tell you he's never worked a day in his life. He shows up here with passion every single day. And so that's one of my personal heroes.
He just has the warmest heart. I mean, the minute I met him, I just wanted to hug him.
I know. He's so huggable.
So tell me a little bit about, well, your club DJing. How did you start that?
Well, actually, I would have to go back to my radio days in order to get to that.
Okay.
As a student here.
Take us a journey.
Yeah, it's a big journey. And so, you know, my first radio gig, as I was telling you prior to the show, first thing that happened to me was my internship at Channel 50 in the newsroom.
Mm-hmm.
And being a news intern is very exciting, 5 nights a week, and probably the only paid internship they had here at that time that I got hired for, which was a huge blessing. I learned incredible stuff about how a newsroom worked and worked with some of the greats of Detroit broadcast there. You know, Mir Makeupson and David Scott and Harry Harrison and Ray Lane and all these greats. But in the meantime, the story about my radio beginnings is kind of funny because I was at home. I was going through some challenges in my life. Things were changing in a big way. And I was going to school here every day, as well as my internship. And I was listening to WJZZ, the jazz radio station of Detroit, and the first recipient of the Marconi Award. And just incredible what jazz will do for you when you're going through some stresses. It always kept me nice and relaxed. And so I was listening and I wanted to hear a song. And so I called the great Doc Elliott. Rest in peace, Doc. He's another one of my great heroes. I owe so much to that man. And he answered the request line. And I requested a song. And he said, you know, you got a really great voice. You should think about going into radio. Well, actually, I'm a student at Specs Howard. He said, get out of here. And I said, and I intern in the newsroom at Channel 50. Get out of here. I said, well, do you want me to stay or do you want me to get out of here? And he said, you know what I'd like you to do? He said, why don't you make an air check tape or bring us an air check tape? We're looking for part timers. And I was like, whoa.
This is incredible.
Yeah. So I came up here and asked Dick, could I get in a studio and make an air check tape? Obviously, I didn't have one. I had no experience, no background. And so he said, sure. And I brought in some jazz CDs and I knew what the liners were at the station because I listened. And I just made a little makeshift air check tape and I dropped it off. The hilarious part, you know, it's an urban radio station and I come in with air check tape and nobody knew that I was a white woman. And so when I get there, I go, I'm here to see Doc Elliott. What? Okay. So they go get Doc. And I know they're running downstairs going, you got to see this woman who's here. And so then I come back or Doc comes upstairs and he gets that face like, what? And then he gets the biggest grin. And so I hand him the air check tape. He introduces me to O'Neill Stevens, who was the program director at that time. And I go home and I get a call that night from O'Neill. And he said, all I can say is, damn, you're hired. And I was like, what?
So I just want to point out that, you know, one, you're at a low part in your life. You know, you're struggling with something.
Real
so I just want to point out to listeners that you never know that, you know, some of the darkest days have just stay open.
Yeah,
you just stay open. And there's no such thing as coincidence. I mean, this is, you were supposed to be where you were at the time so that you could be led to this.
That's right.
An incredible story. I never knew this. It's great.
Well, it doesn't get to be told too often because of everything else I do in my life. But so that part of my life, you know, that part of my career was just an astonishing thing. And I had so many great mentors. But I remember going in to learn how to work the audio board. So I was learning how to board op. And with this wonderful guy, Dave Mitchell, people who know him will smile and go, yeah, we know Dave. And so Dave was teaching me how to run the board and we did it for one day. And then the next day I came in on a Sunday and I thought I was learning to board up again. You know, still getting my, you know.
Right.
And O'Neill says to me, well, it's your show from 10 to 3 and I'll be in my office if you need me.
You didn't do it by yourself?
Yeah. And I'm going, oh, you mean I'm going to open the microphone in Detroit? And
oh, my God.
Yeah. So I was telling Dick Kernan when I stopped in the office before I came in here to sit with you today that I listened back to my old air checks from then and I thought I sounded like Minnie Mouse because it was WJZZ Jazz 106, you know, get the hell in and get out. You know, it's just so scary, but you keep going. And so I'll never forget the end of my very last or the very last song of my first shift. Mm-hmm. A woman calls me on the request line and she said, are you the new DJ? And I said, yeah. And she said, I thought she was going to say, you suck. And she goes, well, the very last song that you just played was Giving You the Best That I Got, Anita Baker.
Oh, yeah.
And she said, I just want you to know, I think you gave it the best that you got and welcome to Detroit. And
oh,
I was just like,
goosebumps. Yeah. That's amazing. Yeah. That is beautiful.
That was the beginning. And then from there, when they ceased to be, they became a rap station.
Yes.
And so, which is common in the radio game. Mm-hmm. And then I went to Mix 92.3.
Okay.
And during that time, I was part-time there on the weekends. And they had talked to me about programming my own show, but never that opportunity never manifested. They knew that I knew that music really, really well, but it never manifested. And so I was in Hamtramck.
Okay.
At a place called Lush Lounge.
Okay.
And,
I remember that.
And one of my friends had said to me, you know, you need to spin that music that you love. Why don't you do it here? And I'm like, wow, you mean like spinning the clubs now?
Have you ever, had
no.
you ever done that?
No.
Oh.
And so, of course
like,
not,
no.
Jill.
Come on.
So I brought my music from home and I did it. And I've been doing it for all these years and have done pretty well for myself and went on to program my own show from Mix 92.3. I went to WGPR, where God's presence radiates, down on Jefferson. And again, you know,
say
here comes
again.
That funky
what
white girl,
it?
Where God's presence radiates. That's initially what it was supposed to be. And, you know, things became what it did. But, you know, I'm in the home of Mojo and Rosetta Hines was program director there.
Wow.
And brought me in full time. And I said, Rose, I want to program my own show. I have this idea. I have way more music here than they even have in the library. Just let me do it. And she was like, oh, you know, and I just kind of, you know, and I said, just lock your door in your office. And if it doesn't work, I'll stop it. And so she actually let me do it.
Wow.
They actually let me bring my music from home. And the story of that place and where things ended up going with that is a story for another day, but a pretty doggone good one.
Oh, and well, so, we're going to have you back
yeah.
for that one then.
So that's where the party train started. That's what I called the show. And
that's such a great show, the party train.
Thank you.
You play everything I love, you know, it just gets me, it gets you in a good mood. It really
does. That's what it is. And so at the casino, it's good mood music. So I went from there to the Groove 105.1 Greater Media. They called me and said, we want the party train.
Mm-hmm.
And John Ray and Bill Freeze, I love those guys. Thank you so much for that opportunity. And I said, well, you know what the party train is. I program it myself. Yeah, we know. And I bring my music from home.
And you're okay with that,
okay.
right?
Okay. Okay. Well, then I'll come in. And so from there, it was internet radio. And then now the podcast that is on Radio Free Amsterdam, as well as the Funky D.
Right.
I'm living a satisfied life, Jill. Non-conventional, not the normal path, but very satisfied. And of course, Funky D Records, me and Tino G, you know, that's our baby.
Yeah. I want to talk about that because you both are such a power. Well, your powerhouse is separately, but together it just blows my mind. And if what I always, well, you know, we always have our traditional photo op at the DMAs. We have to do it every year. And I love just standing next to you two. And
we need that.
But I feel the respect you have for each other and the support you have for each other. And, you know, I think, you know, I was married to a drummer, my first marriage.
Wow.
And I know that sometimes it can be complicated when you have two creative artists in the same room, in the same house, having this drive. How do you balance that and how did you develop the record label?
Well, to go to the latter, the record label came about. Tino had it as an imprint And him and my youngest daughter, Melanie, had designed the logo when she was about 12, which we keep it in its crude, awesome state.
Love
Our
it.
Dog, Nigel, was a year old. I took the picture of him in the kitchen and they created that. But he was producing, he started producing for R.L. Burnside, for Fat Possum Records mm-hmm. and Little Freddie King and mm-hmm. Kenny Brown and all of that. And so that really moved him into producing all the time. And he started producing the Diablo stuff and the Rump Shakers and just had it as an imprint. Never really... you know, pursued it full on.
Right.
And so I was just looking at it one day and I thought to myself, this is a way that I could be involved and Tino and I can really use the best of those resources you describe as individuals and collectively together. And nobody can really have an argument about it because it's me and Tino doing this. So right. I went down into the Funk Bunker.
Tell us about the Funk Bunker, because
yeah,
I've never seen it.
That's our home studio, okay. and it got nicknamed the Funk Bunker somewhere along the line, and it stuck, but that's where the magic happens for all of our incredible releases, and we have had some of the most amazing people in my home on a regular basis. It's a very blessed and very loud life. And so, you know, so anyway, I came downstairs to Tino, and I said, we're going to take a run. Let's take a serious run at Funky D. as a label. And he said, okay, well, you know, I'm not like, when did you plan on doing that? And I'm, you know, I don't know. And I'm the kind of person, and this is how our dynamic works so well.
Okay.
He knows that I'm just going to pull the trigger
okay.
and just make the announcement because I know he'll step up to it. I know he'll live up to it and do what needs to be done. So we make a great team because he does the producing, the music. He makes our great promo videos and all that stuff. And I do all the PR, the events, a little A&R. And so
you both have each individual strengths. And that's
yes.
what it totally works.
Yeah.
And you have created some of the best music coming out of Detroit. I mean,
Thank
Robert
you.
Bradley,
oh.
just you just got done with that one. Jimmy Bones, that record. I mean, all of those are just phenomenal artists. And
yep. John Sinclair.
John Sinclair, right.
Tino G's just, Dumpster Machine
yeah,
coming. Got to
yeah,
put that in.
I'm
super stoked about that release.
That looks so cool.
It's incredible. It's
really fresh. I wish I could come and see them. Unfortunately, I'm always working myself, so I never get to. But maybe one of these times our schedules will line up and that'd be phenomenal
to
see it. But so I also want to get to another part of your life that draws me in when I see it. So with this loud studio you've got going on, you also made a space for yourself in
yep.
your life to find a spiritual, you know, calming place. Can you tell me what brought you to yoga? What brought you to, you know, meditation and how you've come up with these beautiful, beautiful posts that I believe help so many people on a daily basis.
I'm honored by that, Jill. And that's really, to me, the most important part of all is honoring God and honoring the spiritual side of myself and nurturing that, honoring the temple that is the vessel in order for me to go live out my mission. I was always a really kind of deep thinker, a really deep kid.
Mm-hmm.
Like I remember when I was little, my brother would have me go sit in my mom's room while she was at work and we would charge kids to come in and ask me a question about life, you know?
Really?
So that was always kind of,
yeah,
you know, I was like 8 years old telling people what to do about their problems, but you know.
That's amazing. A little prep for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, yeah. But you know.
Pre-production.
It's always been an important part of my life. My mother raised me. The greatest things that my single mother of four, and she was a hard worker on the assembly line for 30 years. My father was not in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And so my mom, what she gave me, the tools for life, was God first. See my shirt? Soli Deo Gloria. Put them first. And music, dance, love life, and, you know, and be positive. And so she had a lot of great motivational books always in the library. And I was the kid that would pull them down and read them. And spending time in the Word and all of those things that would nurture that. So coming full circle at this point in my life,
mm-hmm.
there was just that inner cry, you know, that voice that says you need to really just do this. And so when I do my posts,
yes.
I never edit, think them out, nothing really.
That's what I was going to ask you, because it literally, I mean, have you considered writing a book?
I always tell people the book's already there.
It truly is.
And it's free. Just go ahead and read it.
I totally agree, but I'm
too lazy.
Well, then I'll do it for you.
Thank you.
Because I just think that like I said, it just reaches so many, to me, I believe it reaches so many people. I see what people respond to it, and it's exactly how I feel, and I know I've responded to it. But you've also motivated me to, I always hit a little prayer corner, and I have a wall of women that have influenced me one way or another, either like through a documentary or just their life. And it's everyone from like Eleanor Roosevelt to Amelia Earhart to Maya Angelou to Mother Teresa, just this whole wall of just like, you know, empowerment. But, you know, it's also where I do my bookings and where I do all this other stuff. Well, now Dream Big, my office has opened in Ferndale. So I decided that I was going to have a Linda Lexi room.
What? Yay!
Yeah,
do it, girl.
And so I had a yoga mat, you know, and I just love the way your room looks. And can you explain to the listeners, like, how did you create that space yourself? What did you do?
Well, it's my sanity space when my house is so noisy. And so, you know, there was my, with both my daughters, you know, being grown and gone in life and mm-hmm. doing their thing. And there was that extra space available in the house. And I knew that I needed a place that I could nurture my peace, mm-hmm. because I always say peace is power, and that's because I really believe it. And by the way, every post I ever put up, that's, I feel like that's God working through me.
I do too.
Because it wakes me up in the middle of the night and he won't let me go back to sleep. And I'm like, okay, I'll go
say it.
Don't
you hate when he does it? You're much nicer. I'm like, really? Come on. But this better be important.
So the space became the space. I just decided I wanted to make sure that I had a place where I could go and let myself mentally be present. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I laid out my beautiful yoga mat, and I've, you know, just put up all my candles and my little shrine of the things that motivate me, mm-hmm. and just made it as peaceful of a place as I could. And it's funny because, you know, like Dumpster Machine was rehearsing a couple days ago and they're pretty loud and proud. And my whole house is literally rattling because it was built in 1926 going, help me. And, you know, so I'm up there and I'm meditating and keeping my peace. But I really feel like we, just like when we go out in the world, mm-hmm. we need to be challenged by the noises of life.
Yes.
The negativity is the loudest noise there is.
You bet.
So that's a preparatory. Mm-hmm. And we need to be challenged by those noises in life in order to get what they call in yoga, your drishti, your gazeless gaze, your focus, your intention, your purpose. Mm-hmm. And so once you are solid on what that is, it always gives you a place to come back to.
So you take yourself there. No matter where you are, you find that.
You find
now,
that.
You are heavily, like, I see, and it frightens me, I have to tell you, that you do this hot yoga, right?
Oh, yeah, I love it. The hotter, the better.
What is that like? I've always, it just, the name of it scares me, and I would love to try it sometime, but I've got to work, I'm, you know, working on my yoga at home, but I would love to know, what is that like? I mean, do they really turn the heat up to like 100 degrees? I mean, how's that work?
We love the heat cranked up, but you know, it's all about, it's really not, it does sound fearful to a lot of people, uh-huh. but I think that you push past that fear and you come in and then you realize that you're discovering another level of yourself, because what hot vinyasa is, the premise of vinyasa is one breath, one movement.
Okay.
Now that one breath, Barbara Deo, thank you, helped me to learn very well that breath is your breath, one of your breaths,
okay.
your move, meaning that it's not, you know, you're taking in your breath and you're moving this way and then you're blowing it out and you're moving another way.
Right.
And it's posture, counter posture, mm-hmm. and which is also applicable to life as a great lesson, because when you bend one way, you have to balance it out by bending the other way. But in that heat, you detox every little thing. And they said, what was I reading yesterday? That sweat is your fat crying. So I'm like, yay, cry away. You know, just keep sweating it out. But it's also very powerful bonding.
Okay.
And it's amazing what you get out of yourself that you didn't even know, the junk you were holding in, not just in our bodies.
But in your mind.
You know, right, in your mind. And I'm a holistic person by all aspects of my life approach. But I think if your mind is not in that space that you deserve it to be,
yes.
then you're missing your mission. You have a mission. There's not anybody, if I could say anything to your listeners, unique, wonderful you has a mission beyond anything anyone tries to sell you.
Amen.
So go find it.
Amen. Well, you are just an amazing human being.
As are
and
you, dear.
I can't thank you enough for being here today. And I already told you how important it was to me. You are my first in studio guest.
Yay.
And I couldn't imagine starting this any way else than I've always been connected to you. I don't, you know, I think we have the same mission idea. And, you know, I always say to all my Dream Big listeners and my clients that God gave us this gift.
Yeah.
And we all have certain gifts.
Yeah.
And if we don't use them, we're not being responsible. We have to be responsible for our gift. And
right.
we're so lucky to have them. Just use your gifts. And it may be different. Mine's different than yours. Yours is different than Tino's. You know, it's just all different. But if we all do it together, it'll be a beautiful world.
Can you imagine? It's all supposed to be different, Jill.
Absolutely.
If everybody used their unique gift and we all shared and gave.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, right? And
yep.
it would just...
like you did today by having me here.
Yes.
I love being with you, Jill.
Well,
and I'm so honored to pop your cherry and be here
she
today.
She said it. Yeah.
Yeah, I said it. And the Lord loves me anyway.
And I love it. So thank you. It was a wonderful experience.
It was fabulous, darling. Good
and,
for me, too.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. Don't forget to tune in. We're here every Friday at 10 a.m. And I just love being on Empower Radio. And we hope that today empowers you to go out there, find your mission. It's in you. You don't have to look very far. So just believe, 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 and dream big, baby.